Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for giving us wisdom today concerning these things to come. And thank you, Lord, for letting the saints pray about the things that we share. And it gives some foundation to prayers and things. And thank you for wisdom, too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, we're going to talk about sign of the man-child birth and anointing. And this first revelation was given to Garrett Crawford over a period of time, but mostly 6:10-22. And we called it Journey to Kazakhstan. Yes. Garrett said, I had a very vivid dream that I was inside the continental United States. I started a journey that took me from the U.S. and into Iran, and lastly, my final destination was Kazakhstan. For some reason, Iran and Kazakhstan were actually inside the United States. Well, that means God's using them as a type and a shadow of something that is in the United States. Kazakhstan is the birthplace of the Khazarians, and they are our deep state Babylon. Okay, so that is an entity in the United States. And, of course, that's a big faction, terrible faction. They cause wars. They separate people, cause wars, and so on and so forth. And, of course, they're throughout the world also. So Iran represents the apostate church system in the United States. The Iranians are Semites, like the Jews, and not Hamites, like the Arabs. Everybody thinks they're Arabs. They're not. They're kinfolk to the Jews. And their leadership apostatized and factioned against their brothers, like the factions in the church and the state now. And as we will see, within Kazakhstan is the bride that the man-child is to be born out of. In a dream Garrett had back in 2020, there was a virgin girl in Kazakhstan who was about to give birth to the man-child. And Kazakhstan birthed the Khazarians, who became a nomadic people and have been a criminal entity, and they're many times called just the deep state. But to be born in Kazakhstan is to be born from Babylon, like Zerubbabel. That's what his name means. He was a type of the man-child, and his name meant born from Babylon. You could have said just the same thing, born from the Khazarians. But in our time, not in that time, okay? So Garrett went on to say, in the dream, Iran was a place where many of my unsaved childhood friends lived and had assimilated into the native culture there. The unsaved childhood friends represent factions in apostate Christianity because they are spiritually stunted in their growth. And 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now I'm become a man, and I have put away childish things. I realized it was very dangerous for me to be there, Garrett said, because of their faction. I'm saying it's been very dangerous to be in the two factions, the Khazarian and the Iranians. Because these are depopulation people, the Khazarians are, and worldly Christianity is factioned and can't see one another's points of view. And inside that is the faction that we talk about so much, which is trying to destroy the man, child, and the woman. Okay. Garrett said, I was not sure why I really needed to go to Kazakhstan in the dream. The dream ended with me leaving Iran and making my way to Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan, again, represents Babylon, deep state, And it's a dangerous place because of their depopulation agenda here and all the ways they think they can try to kill people. There was a little house that I saw in a vision that I was to go to. And when I woke up, I remembered this dream and the words from 2020. Okay, well, the little house is the house of the David Manchild Reformers that is being rebuilt. Okay, so let's go to his 2020 vision here, Garrett's. We called it "The Lord Induces Labor of the Manchild." In this dream, I was walking up to a large coliseum. Well, a coliseum is a place of larger and larger circles of people representing an exponential revelation being passed on, right? The revelation's always in the middle, and it goes from the first row to the second row, and this is the way basically things are passed on, okay? We tell somebody, they tell somebody else, you know? Well, he went on to say it was a large venue and an event was going to happen inside. I remember I was quite early for the show that they were not letting anyone in just yet. As I was in front of the Colosseum, I saw David Eales walking over to me. I could not believe he was there too. It was a pleasant surprise. We had a brief conversation, and as we were talking, we saw a group of protesters across the street making some commotion. They kind of caught my attention, but David told me not to pay them any mind. Well, we know who that is. That's the factious apostates in the church and the state, too. And they protest and they fight against the man, child, and the bride and against God himself. But, of course, that's not going to last. I walked away from David and then walked back up near the Colosseum and saw a man standing behind a table. But he had a lot of materials on his table, and he was giving them out. Although he doesn't really exist in real life in the dream, he was David's right-hand man and assistant pastor. Well, we got a revelation of this. He's not a physical individual person, but a representation of many pastors and other teachers who pass on the man-child's wisdom and knowledge. And this is happening now, you know, of course, but the anointed man-child, it will be much more important, right? I was quite familiar with the assistant, and we are with many of them, right? He was very happy to see me, and I him. We talked for a while, and he had great news to tell me. Yes, the good news of the gospel that sets people free is always great news, and that's what we pass on. He said, UBM has an orphanage or mission in Kazakhstan and the surrounding area. God is doing many mighty works there. Yes, he is. And even now, yes, he is. Kazakhstan is a land that had been conquered by the Mongols, but was later set free. The Mongols were a fierce and vicious people who regarded not the lives of others and were factious against everybody, very much like the deep state, which has also conquered many lands and that are now being set free. Amen. UBM does have an orphanage and mission in other countries, and the pastors hand out UBM materials in the midst of peoples who are just like the vicious protesters mentioned above. Yep, there's a lot of antagonism against Christianity all over the world, and of course the faction is the worst because they want to make sure it doesn't get out to these people. So we can't mention these people specifically because the faction has already tried to kill them. Yeah. So he told me the man-child is about to be birthed, and they know the young girl in whom he is coming. All right. She was a poor virgin girl in the church. In other words, among the factious peoples. They're in Kazakhstan, and she is with child. Okay. Well, reminded us of Revelation 14, 1 through 5. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne, verse 3, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that are not defiled with women, meaning factions, for they are virgins. In other words, they don't receive the seed of the denominations and the factions and so on. They receive only the seed of God. So they haven't received this. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. So first fruits unto God, of course, was Jesus. He was called the first fruit. But now we're talking about the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And that's the man-child. And their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. So they're not speaking lies like a lot of the church are. They're speaking just the word. That's a safe thing to do. He said, they have seen the sign that he was ready to be birthed. And I said, but it's too soon. He said, no, he is coming, and we have seen the sign. Well, we have been shown that the man-child is coming sooner than many believe, and that he will come early. And that's what Garrett said. And this is true. We believe the same thing. Matthew 24 and 42 says, watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh. Mm-hmm. As he was explaining all this to me in greater detail, I had a vision of the womb of the young girl, and I could see the fetus of the man-child. It was a supernatural fetus, translucent and luminous. It was not a normal flesh and blood fetus, but a supernatural one. Well, that just, it's not saying that it will, is not a natural person, but that the important thing is that it is going to be supernatural, in that the Lord himself is ordaining this, and so on. So a spiritual virgin birth is what we're talking about. And Jesus said that he is coming again in the man-child, and that by word and spirit. John 16, 21 and 22, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. Okay, Jesus spoke this. Of course, he was already born. So now he's talking about something in the future. Of course, this woman, when you go through the rest of the Bible, you get to her in Revelation chapter 12. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. So it is a man-child. And you therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. This is the Lord in the man-child. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Now, we're talking about the Lord coming in the man-child body first fruits because the Word is in them and because the Spirit is in them. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would take of his and declare it unto us, right? Amen. As he continued speaking, my vision continued, and I saw a hand stick what appeared to be a hooked rod, like a tiny little shepherd's rod, inside the womb of the mother. Well, David received the heart of a shepherd defending the sheep from the lion and the bear before he was birthed as the anointed man-child king, right? Amen. Garrett went on to say, the rod was meant to induce labor. I saw the little rod scrape against the umbilical cord And at that very moment, the little fetus made a quick reaction and assumed the position of a woman who was about to give birth. So the sign is, of course, that the man-child's about to be born. He was mimicking a woman in her labor position, knees up and legs open. It reminded me when a drill sergeant gives a command to a disciplined soldier and he stands at attention immediately. Well, this little fetus reacted just as fast to the command. I was very impressed with the little guy. He was so little, not even a full-grown baby, yet, but now had an intelligence that was beyond his age. And when I saw this vision, I had trouble comprehending how such a small fetus was ready to be birthed. But labor was being induced, and he was coming out regardless. I don't know about you, but I've prayed that the man child would come early. You know, we have so much to do, right? And I know that a lot of other people have too. Well, we've had many dreams of the man child being birthed and maturing very rapidly, even walking and talking right after the birth. However, this man-child is maturing rapidly even in the womb, as we will see. Some people know that you can educate your children somewhat in the womb. And so, okay. Well, Garrett said, I feel like we have to be prepared that the man-child will come sooner than we think or what he has planned for. Usually, a baby is born at 9 months, but this baby was only about 5 or 6 months gestation. Okay, so now we're going to talk about another sign. Christmas. The man child is coming. Okay, and this is what I have shared and taught, right? On 6/7/22, I went out to sit on the porch in the front of my house. It's a wraparound porch. And I saw a pine tree. When I sat down, it caught my attention because it was lit up with lights that flickered on and off. And what it was droplets of water on the tree that were reflecting the sun that was at just the right angle. So it's reflecting the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N. And I sat down evidently at just the right angle for it to hit me. It was beautiful. It was very surprising. And the first thing that came to my mind, and I spoke it out, Christmas, the man child is coming. And, well, in the natural, the holiday of Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus, you know, since it is actually the celebration of the birth of Tammuz, a false Jesus, from the Tower of Babel on. But the Lord will often use Christmas in dreams to represent the coming of the man-child in our day, since people relate Christmas to the birth of Jesus. Okay, so God can use all kinds of things. Sometimes he even uses negative things in positive ways to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. So I thought when I saw this, it was awesome. I thought if Michael would hurry back, because Michael had gone somewhere and he was coming back, I would have a witness because somebody might not believe this. Even though I thought God was using a natural phenomenon to do this, I took a picture with my phone, but the lights didn't show up. And Michael did come back, and it was a little less glorious at that time, but it was still there and clear. And I showed it to him. He saw it, and he tried to use his phone camera, but he noticed in the picture that it wouldn't pick it up, the lights, even though they were very bright. They were tiny, but very bright. Well, you know, a droplet on the end of a pine needle hanging down is like a prism with when the light hits it, you know. But I'd never seen it this bright or this beautiful and blinking on and off. So I said to him, Christmas, the man-child is coming. And he thought it was very surprising, too. And then I received the next two revelations right after this. Vanessa sent in this revelation that she got on 6/6/22. We called it Christmas Tree with a Dove. Mm-hmm. She said, I dreamed that I was in our living room and I saw a small Christmas tree in the corner. I went over to it and I saw that there were several ornaments on it. Well, the verse that came to me was Ezekiel 17:22-23. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar, and I will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it upon a high and lofty mountain. That's Mount Zion. And this is the new leadership. The first, before this context, just before it, the Zedekiah leadership was taken into bondage in Babylon. And now he's saying who's going to replace the apostate leadership. And that's the man-child, and he's going to be taken to the top of Mount Zion. So in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall spring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it, cedar represents eternal life, right? And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. So this is speaking of the man-child reformers represented by the topmost young twigs of the cedar tree. Right? I was amazed to see it and thought, why is this tree here? We don't celebrate Christmas, and Christmas was months ago. And she said, I think this points to the birth of the man-child ministry rather than the pagan holiday. The branches made me think of Isaiah 11:1-4. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Well, that's something Jesus didn't do, by the way. You know, he stopped in the middle of that verse before he got to the judgment part in Isaiah 61. And that's because the man-child is going to take up where he left off. Some mistake this for Jesus' first coming, but Jesus didn't slay the wicked. He wasn't even going to judge them. It is when he returns in the man-child that he will judge and slay the wicked. A friend had a dream. His name was Tubby. He had a dream that this was speaking of the David man-childs, and that I came up to him representing the David man-childs and quoted this text. He said, you spoke to me that you knew someone like this. You know, it was me in the text that he got. Okay, but I was representing this David man-child in that revelation. So all the ornaments were white on this very green tree, but the only one I remember was a large white dove on a branch towards the top of the tree. Now you know the branch, right? Jeremiah 23 and 33 speak about the branch, right? The branch of David. And it's talking about a branch of David in our day. A branch toward the top of the tree, representing the latter rain anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the man-child reformers. Okay? Mark 1 and 9 says, And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens rent asunder, and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So the dove came and landed on the Lord as a type of the man-child, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. And as we saw, Jesus is coming again as a man-child in John 16, which we've quoted before. So I thought of this dream when David talked about the evergreen tree, which represents eternal life, and Winnie's dream of Christmas. Amen. So here's Winnie's dream, Winnie Asageta, 6-8-22, and we called it Christmas Eve. What is coming? Why do all these things show up at a time like this? They're confirmations. Nobody knows somebody else did this until they pass them on to me, and then we find out, right? So I prayed and asked the Lord to show me what was coming, and when I fell asleep, he gave me the following dream. And when he said, I dreamt that I was in a very nice suburban area, and it was the evening time of Christmas Eve. Wow, there it is again, Christmas again. Another confirmation that the baby boy, man-child, is coming. Amen. She said, I could see all the houses decorated with colorful Christmas lights throughout this neighborhood on my left. My mother's house was also located on the left side of this suburban neighborhood. Well, we know that the mother church generally does practice Christmas, but they haven't really looked into its very pagan origins, you know. And to some people that doesn't matter, especially those that are not really disciples. But it does matter to disciples to not dishonor the Lord with pagan symbolism, okay? So the Lord is using this, and he's talking a lot of the things that we say. We're talking to those people, you see. So God is weak to the weak, and he does talk to them in their language. So Winnie's mom is being used to represent the apostate church that all of God's elect are born out of. Many apostates are in idolatry with the world and its traditions of men, represented by the celebration of Christmas, which is a pagan holiday. And there is a connection between the modern-day Christmas tree and the ancient symbol for the fertility goddess named Asherah. Jeremiah 10, 1 through 5 says, Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the nations. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are like a palm tree of turned work. Yeah, they're shaped beautifully, you know. And speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither can is it in them to do good. Okay, so we know it's just an idol. Okay. There was a remake of an older movie being made, except it wasn't actually a movie. It was really happening. Oh. Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 says, A thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. It's there anything whereof it shall be said, See, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Okay, you notice the Christmas tree. There it was, right? I recognized and remembered this old movie that they were remaking, and it was starring Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland is an actor who played a great villain in movies in the 80s and 90s. And he was a villain in the movie In This Dream as well. The meaning of the name Kiefer, by the way, is a German nickname for someone who was quarrelsome. From an agent of a middle-high German Kiven to quarrel. Well, we know all of the factious are quarrelsome. They only have one agenda: stop the gospel from going forth. Yeah. And it's well that they are quarrelsome, because they identify themselves to people. They don't usually start off that way. They're pretty slick, you know, as we will see. But they get around to doing that. And they slander. They don't obey the rules of Scripture. So, they brought in a new actor for the remake of this movie who looked just like a younger, rounder-faced version of Kiefer Sutherland. His haircut was like the one Kiefer Sutherland had in the movie The Lost Boys, a film in which he played a vampire. Well, we know the life of the flesh is in the blood. The spiritual vampires of the apostate churches who are lost, children who bite and devour and suck the life out of people with their contentious and slanderous ways. Because I had already seen and knew this movie very well, I knew that this Kiefer Sutherland lookalike had a plan to enter into each suburban home in this neighborhood and kill every family. Well, that's exactly what the faction does. They may take out a person or two in a family, but then those people turn and take out the rest of their family. They impart the demons. And they really don't know what they're doing, but they're doing it. I could see him lurking in the shadows of his brick house, spying on the neighborhood through his window on the top floor. Well, we've known them as stalkers and peeping toms. Absolutely. And these families are not suspicious, as he made himself appear to be trustworthy and friendly. Okay. Well, that reminds me of Romans 16, 17, and 18. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent." Yeah. Who they argue with is people who already know who they are. But they talk smooth and fair to people who don't know them. They want to usurp them. They want to change them. But remember that they are actors. This is not their way. I was now inside my mother's home, and this new actor was there as well. He handed my mother a box of Marlboro Red cigarettes, and she accepted them. She actually smoked these in real life when I was much younger. And as soon as this actor walked off, I said, "No, no. Why did you accept them? Now you're marked." And she said, "I like Marlboro Reds. So if he gives me Marlboro Reds, I'm going to take them." Well, Winnie said the cigarettes represent receiving bad and false spirits. Yes, that's true. Breath and spirit are the same word, and taking in smoke represents taking in an unclean spirit. And if you receive slander from a factious person, you receive that same spirit. And guess what? You are marked. Because the first thing you're going to find is you're walking in the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And if you don't be granted repentance, you will split hell wide open. That's just the facts. She seemed to be very bothered by my objections to her receiving these cigarettes, but I knew how this movie was going to play out, so I was desperately trying to warn her, but to no avail. That's her mother. That's people in the apostate church. They don't know about the rules, for one thing. The rules tell you very plainly that you don't talk about somebody or accuse anybody without two or three witnesses, especially an elder. And if you've got something against somebody, you go to them alone and talk to them about it and then take a witness and then bring it before the church. But these people always disobey that. They bring it to the church because they want to slander. And they can't slander in front of you because you will show them wrong, you see. So they have to hide out and do it. Well, many in apostasy aren't heeding our warnings currently, and they'll have to experience judgment before they can turn back to righteousness. And still, many won't repent of their wickedness, and they will be killed spiritually with an eternal death. These people are murderers of the worst kind. Somebody who kills your body, you can still go to heaven. But when they kill your spirit and your soul with demons, you can't. That's the worst kind of a murderer. At this point, I knew that this actor was going to come back and kill her because she was marked. Yes, she had received the spirits, right? And that I had to go. I couldn't stay with her there or I would be killed as well. And as much as it pained me to know what was going to happen, I didn't understand why no one else could see what was happening here. Since this movie was a remake of an old film, it should have been obvious what was going on, but it wasn't to them. Well, I know people who have been have seen this happen to others and fall into the trap because of disobedience. They had no choice. They were turned over to this. God is taking the tares out from among the wheat and bundling them into bundles to burn them. This is what's happening, to cleanse the church. Faction cleanses the church. It's faction means separation, and it separates people who are not obedient to God and are walking in the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Well, John 12:37-40 says this, "But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, he hath hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them." Well, this is it. Their blinded eyes and blinded heart. It is them. They cannot understand you. It's to them, it's like a foreign language. The things that they really loved and appreciated before, these demons reprobated them. Right? "I left this suburban area to find an escape, and I entered into the city. I stopped by a clothing store that I used to go to when I was younger." Well, we should not shrink back, represented by visiting the younger clothing store. Hebrews 10:39 says, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." Yes, many are going into perdition, which is destruction. Judas, of course, was a factious person who factioned away from his brother and Jesus, and he was reprobated. The devil entered into him, and he did his dirty deed, and he killed himself with his own hands. And that's what the faction do. I recognized one of the women that worked there in the dream, but not in real life. She was an overweight black lady with a fake ponytail. Huh. Well, this I believe, represents people who are walking in darkness, who feed the flesh. She was overweight. She met me outside with a hug and said, "Merry Christmas." And I said, "Merry Christmas as well." "I don't personally celebrate Christmas," she said, "but I believe the Lord is just using this as a parable." That's true. A parable of judgment on the apostates at the time of the man-child's birth is what we're seeing. And I noticed that I had a large, overweight, gray, striped cat with me, and it walked into the store. The cat wanted to stay behind, and I agreed that it was best because I could not escape what was happening with this cat tagging along. Well, a cat, we know, represents rebellious self-will. And, of course, if she would take rebellious self-will with her, she would not escape this death. Witchcraft is what? Rebellion. Yes. Okay. I thought about the verse in Hebrews 12:1-2. "Therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Well, we have to leave our rebellious sin nature behind, represented by the fat gray cat, if we want to escape the judgment of the faction that takes people out. And she said the lady in the store agreed that the cat could remain there in the store. So the lady in the store had no objections to this rebellion being there. But again, I was sad because I knew what was coming and that they would not be safe if they did not escape. And this actor would come and kill them, including the cat. Yeah, the person who has the self-willed rebellion. Right? Well, Psalm 37:38 says, "As for transgressors," or the rebellious, "they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off." And in 2 Peter 2:12, "But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing in what matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed." Yes. I left the store and continued up a flight of stairs to leave this area too, and then I woke up. The dream felt so real that when I woke up, I felt like this was still happening. And I was trying to figure out what movie this was that they were trying to remake. Well, let me say that the people who don't learn from his story or history are doomed to repeat it. People who have watched these people go nuts and know it's crazy if they enter into rebellion or self-will or unforgiveness, criticism and judgment of others, they are ripe for the picking of this actor, factious actor. And we've watched it. We know the type person that does this. Okay. So I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Joel 2:19. We're going to, in context, read 15 through 20. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. So here is a revelation of the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. Good things happen at the time of this northern army, right? Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain, and new wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. And that is these people. This is a Red Sea type appearance of like Pharaoh's army, who wanted to bring the people back into bondage to the old man. And that's what happens to these factious peoples. They go back into bondage to the old man. And will drive it into the land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. So the northern army is like Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. It's the end of the persecutors and the beginning of the wilderness tribulation. Amen. Okay, here's another one. Vanessa Weeks got this on 610. Come up here, we called it. As I was praying in the Spirit on 610:22, I saw a staircase going up to heaven. And a man, which I saw from the back, was walking up it. And I heard, come up here. Well, the man-child reformers will be caught up to the throne of authority soon to bring God's people through the wilderness tribulation. Amen. You remember the anointing that was on Moses, so much so that he put a veil upon his face. Yes, he was the anointed man-child. Revelation 4:1. Vanessa put here. After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, one saying, come up here, and I will show thee the things which must come to pass hereafter. I want to tell you that John was a type of the man-child here, and the man-child will get the revelation of things to come. Yes. And of course, what was it? The tribulation. Yeah. Read the book of Revelation. And she also gave John 1:51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And she also gave Proverbs 25:6. Put not thyself forward in the presence of the king. Stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it shall be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Wow. And she said, I believe the Lord is giving us a picture of the soon anointing of the man-child. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm going to share one more with you. Vision of the Bride Chosen at the Throne. Claire Pinar, 525:22. I had a quick vision of myself in front of Jesus' throne. I was bigger than I am in real life, as was the throne and the setting. I believe this larger-than-life presentation of myself in the dream denotes the corporate body of the bride. There was a very good looking and well-dressed man walking all around me and sizing me up. He reminded me of a well-known fashion designer who can, just by looking at his models, make clothing that fits them perfectly. This man represents Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who always tries to get the bride to put on garments of filth or unrighteousness. I had a veil over my head, but not my face. I was glowing. Jesus put out his hand to me and said, "I choose you." Then I started telling this man to stop. I did not speak, but I was rebuking this man's words and actions in my mind. Well, Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says, "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." And James 4 and 7 says, "Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And that's what she did. She took the hand of Jesus and resisted the devil. So the man who was sizing me up could not dress me up the way he wanted, and I began glowing even more. Yeah. Revelation 19, 7 and 8 is, "Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So Jesus turned to say something to the Father, but I could not hear it. As I reached out to touch Jesus' hand, similar to how Esther waited for Ahasuerus to hold out the golden scepter, and I woke up. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for these revelations of your soon coming, and we're looking forward to it. Lord, we can feel it, and we've had many signs besides these, obviously. And you've encouraged us over the years of many types and shadows of the coming of the man-child and what, of course, their job is to do, which is to replicate the ministry of Jesus. Remember, in John 16, Jesus said he was coming again as a man-child born to a woman, and they would see him. Yes. And they would rejoice. And, you know, the things that have been are the things that shall be. So Jesus, being the first New Testament man-child, was a type for the end-time corporate body of people that now covers the earth. And the man-child that is needed, of course, is a corporate body too, so he can reach the people. Amen? And, of course, the witnesses that Jesus sent for two by two, they too are multiplied in these end times because they need to reach a corporate body people, the church, which is worldwide, not just a little Israel in the Middle East anymore. They're a type and a shadow of the church. So everything is on a much bigger scale, and but it's happening again. A repeat is happening. What we're going to see is the new reformer leadership, reformer because they will be leading the people back to the original word that was commanded, the original covenant that was commanded, and bring them out of their apostasy, right? And so, like Moses, he brought judgment upon Egypt, but he led God's people through the wilderness with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him, and he did signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus did too, and the man-child will too, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. There's only repetitions of history. And usually history repeats with a larger scale every time it repeats. So, Father, we thank you for the signs and the wonders and miracles we see today, Lord, out there. So many people who are in need, who have sicknesses and diseases, and of course, they're trying to wipe out humanity. And the vaccine, of course, has made many sick and is killing people by the multitudes. And according to what they're saying, they expect it to kill about 1.6 billion people, ultimately. Because not all these people die right away. Some of them will die 5 or 6 years down the road. So there's a great need for healing. And when Jesus came, it was the same way. Nobody was healing anybody. And so there was a great need. And what happened was God confirmed the word that Jesus spoke with signs and wonders following, as the scripture says he does. So he will do it again. He will bring attention to the man-child reformer people with signs and wonders. And and people will pay attention to their word because they're paying attention to their works. No man can do these things except God be with him, it was said of Jesus, right? And it's true. People have that general knowledge, that general understanding. So thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We're looking forward to it. We know there are a lot of people out there who have one particular thing that they've been waiting on for you to do for them, and they're holding on to their faith so that when you come in the man-child and the signs and wonders are done, they will be healed and delivered, so on and so forth, provided for, whatever. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.